Amen. Yeah, maybe one of those bandstands up there. That's awful big. Okay, whatever. Joan, would you stand, please? I'm going to let my wife share a testimony before we go any further. This is my bride of 46 years. Hallelujah. We spent our honeymoon at IBC. We got married and we're right in school.
Good evening. We spent 27 years in the Philippine Islands as missionaries. Then we went to the country of Malta. We started visiting ships. Our ministry, when we're not traveling overseas, is reaching international seafarers that come to the port of Tampa, Florida. Because, like our sister said, so many foreigners are coming to our country, and we reach those that are on ships. The United States has about 24 major ports and smaller ports. Every day, many, many foreigners, even Muslims, are coming to the Lord. We take them shopping. If a ship is in for more than one day, we provide free Wi-Fi so they can contact their families. A lot of the ships from China do not have U.S. visas. So we try to help them in any way, because if you don't have a U.S. visa and you come to our country, you can't even get off the gangway of the ship. The ship becomes like a prison. So we really try to help them. I'll just share one story. Before we started helping in Tampa, we volunteered to help in Savannah, Georgia. It was near Christmas time. If a seafarer get in the van, you lock the doors. There's no Wi-Fi. They can't get out, so you can tell them about the Lord. Well, we were sharing about Jesus in the Filipino language, and the seafarers went up the ship on the gangway. One guy came back, and he said, "I've been unfaithful to my wife, and I want to get reconciled to her." So he came to my window, and I said, "First, you got to get reconciled to God." So we led him to Jesus, and we rejoiced because he come to know the Lord. So we try to reach seafarers for Christ, and those that are Christians, we try to motivate them to start a Bible study or a Christian fellowship on their ships. So please pray for the many ports in the United States. We get Muslims. They're really, really kind. They're very, very friendly. And don't be afraid of foreigners, because most of them are really, really kind. We just came from Massachusetts. There are so many foreigners in Massachusetts. I'm trying to learn Spanish. I met a girl from Spain. We were outside of a funeral. We thought that a policeman got shot. And so and the girl said, "What is this?" And we told her that it was a funeral. Both my husband and myself, we got to share our testimonies about the need to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now she's my friend on Facebook, so I try to put scriptures. So there's all kinds of ways to reach foreigners.
God. Yeah, she kept us for an hour in front of that funeral. You know, she was saying, "There's got to be something more than this." Oh, yes, there is. So there are a lot of divine appointments. Stand with me. I want to sing one more song before I share. Give the Lord an opportunity to minister to our hearts tonight and to respond to what His Word has to say to us tonight. This is one that I really love. We sing it all the time in our home church. I hope you know it, because that's not a solo. I will bless the Lord and give Him glory. I will bless His name and give Him glory. Sing it. I will bless the Lord and give Him glory. I will bless His name and give Him glory. I will bless His name and give Him glory. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap tonight. Hallelujah. We praise You. We bless You. We thank You, Lord, for Your great glory tonight. Ask You, Lord, to have Your way this evening. Lord, may we make the right response this morning, this evening. Not holding back. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, about 55 years ago is when this church began, huh? 55 years ago, I came to Christ. On August 20th, 1961, I think that's 56 years ago. And I was brought up almost in the church, but I was one of God's frozen people. I was baptized, confirmed, was an acolyte. I was the president of the youth group, and then got opportunity to go to this camp up in Lake Winnipesaukee, New Hampshire, conducted by the National Council of Churches. And while at that camp, they read a scripture at breakfast time and had a little prayer. The scripture was 1 John 5, and when they got to the 12th verse, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not eternal life," I knew instantly all I had was religion. And it was a shocker. And I didn't know what to do. And I started asking people at the camp, some of these Christian leaders and pastors at the camp. One told me, "Well, you have to go to seminary to understand that." Another one told me, "You go crazy if you spend too much time in this book." So I guess I'm crazy for Jesus. And the last night of the camp, I think it was 5 days of this, the last night of the camp, wrestling with this, and we were in a campfire sing, closing the camp out. They started singing, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" And I had an impression, I guess. I don't want to call it a vision necessarily, but I saw Jesus on the cross in the fire. And God spoke to my heart and said, "Chuck, if you were the only one on earth, I would have come and died for you." And I fell in the sand in front of that fire, cried out to the Lord. And the camp director came, and the camp nurse came, and they picked me up and took me away from the fire to the infirmary and gave me 2 aspirins and a glass of water and told me I'd be fine in the morning. It didn't work, praise God. So that was on August 20th, 1961. And then I ended up finding out that the Lord also healed my body. I was I had chronic asthmatic problems. I had bronchial asthma 6 times before I ever got to high school, in and out of the hospitals. And I noticed just a few days later, going to get something down at the store, that I was not wheezing anymore. So I ran back home, and that fall, I went out for cross country and got 3rd in state that year. Hallelujah. So that's Jesus. He can do a thorough job. Ended up in the U.S. Coast Guard, serving the Lord in the Coast Guard. Rode out hurricanes like we just experienced at sea, and had all these guys that went to the bars and had all this rough life, non-Christians, all of a sudden get religion and ask me to pray for them. You know, I was really a good guy then. And I decided to obey the Lord in transferring from the Coast Guard into His work. Ended up at a little school in East Providence, Rhode Island, called Zion Bible Institute. And after 3 years there, I went to IBC. And in between, I met this young lady here. She was a bank teller, and I needed a treasurer, so she joined the team. And while at IBC, God began to deal with us about missions more and more. And my first experience with being called into missions was probably back in 1968, 67, in Bridgewater, Mass. A man came to our school named Eugene Garrett, missionary from the Philippines, and we just kind of hit it off together. There's a lot of things I could share tonight, but I make a long story short in this end that we responded to a letter asking us to help. My wife wrote back and said we didn't have any money, but we'd offer ourselves, and we got the quickest letter from the Philippines that perhaps the closed door, we were trying to go to Indonesia at the time. Closed door to Indonesia is an open door to the Philippines. If the Lord tells you to come over and help us. Just like Paul when he had his Macedonian vision dream, and a man called out for him to come over and help them. In just a few weeks, we found ourselves in Manila. I left on September 1976. Besides furloughs, we stayed till 2003, 27 years working in the Philippines. It was just a real blessing in our lives. We have a lot of kids and grandkids, and I could go on, you know, spiritually in the Philippines. We had opportunity to, I used 4 P's. Yeah, I'll talk more about this tomorrow morning when we talk about running. And tomorrow afternoon, right? The first P, we became pioneers, and then we became parents, then we became partners, and now we're participants. Wonderful. They're inviting us. And we'll be going back to the Philippines in a few more months, I believe, and looking forward to working in the Philippines. In the Philippines, we've developed quite a few contacts because of transitions in our ministry. We began in working with Brother Garrett in the crusade ministries and evangelism and church planting, and that turned into teaching in a seminary for the Church of God folk for 13 years at ASCM. And then Gordon Robinson came over and started a ministry called Asian Center for Missions, and we became facilitators with them, and they're in 35 nations of the world, Filipino missionaries. So when we go back, we work with the churches that were planted by Brother Garrett. We work at the seminary. And then we have another one that happened just a few years ago when the Lord spoke to us about reaching out to Filipinos who are on the ocean, seafarers. And there are 180 million Filipinos, and 18 million of them are working overseas. And so we have a tremendous opportunity. As our sister said, reaching the nations coming to us. And we work in Tampa, Port, when we're not traveling overseas. We've been in 40 nations since we left the Philippines. And, you know, it's an amazing thing because of the ports. And now I was sitting across the table from this young gentleman who was a port chaplain in Tampa, and he says, "That's great that you travel all over the world." And then he bared down at me and he said, "What about Tampa?" And it was just like the Lord speaking through him. And so now we give a good share of our time reaching out to seafarers in Tampa. And I'm just so happy that the Lord has put us through these different transitions. And this weekend, we'll be talking about transitions. Because if you don't change, you get run over, you know. And you might find yourself standing out there with nothing to do because what you were supposed to do went right by you. And so we want to really be serious about this and allow the Lord to work in our lives and transition and change and be willing to change. I don't know if I was really that willing to leave the Philippines, but we've been, you know, with Filipinos all over the world, and God has just blessed us in different avenues that way, and I'm just thankful for that. This evening, we're going to just look at this first part of our theme in Hebrews chapter 12. So I'll read the verses 1 and 2. And then what I'd like us to do is just consider this idea of the theme on running this race. It's so important. You know, the old Negro spiritual, the words go like this. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus, keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. So we want to be true to God and His plan and purpose. Be the right person at the right time, the right place, Lord, bless your word tonight. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Tonight, I'd like to take the first part of that, because we really can't run the race if we're weighed down by all these weights that hold us back. And some of us may not even realize we have weights holding us back. We might be just as happy as can be serving the Lord, but we have to remember that He's the one who's the Lord of the harvest, and He wants to work through us. And sometimes you can get so busy with the work of the Lord that you forget the Lord of the work. And God is calling us to a place where we will be able to be vessels and channels used of Him. When He called Abraham and told him to leave his family and kindred and to go to this place, He would show him. And He told him, I will bless you and make you a blessing. What He was saying to him is, I'm going to make you a channel of my blessing. I'm going to make you a conduit of the blessings of God. We're not blessed to be blessed. We're blessed to be a blessing. In the Abrahamic covenant, there's a top line and a bottom line to the covenant. The top line is the blessing, and the bottom line is being a blessing. And you find that if you follow that covenant all the way through Scriptures, you have this continual, repeated theme all the way through Scripture. Israel was commissioned to do this, and Israel fell flat on their face because they were so ethnocentric. And, you know, if you read the book of Jonah, you see that, you know. When God called him to reach out to his enemies and to bring the good news, the gospel, so to speak, to them, he said, Lord, here I am. Send him. You know, and we don't want to be like that. God wants to use us to be a blessing. But we have to understand that in doing this, there are things that need to be done. This scripture says we need to lay aside every weight that holds us back, every hindrance that holds us back. It could be excuses. Huh? By the way, I understand that in the Great Commission he said go. He didn't say come back. So, but I did come back. But I mean, you know, we have to understand that not making our conditions and our excuses in God's plan and purpose. In the Bible, you have so many individuals that made all kinds of excuses, and they were left on the sidelines because they couldn't get over the excuses. Lay aside your excuses. Sometimes the excuse is just a procrastination. You know, the Lord knows us more intimately than we could imagine. And He knows what makes us work. And He's invested gifts and abilities in our lives. And as we surrender to Him, He can take that and use that for His glory. But when we're not living a surrendered life, a yielded life, so much can get in the way in this world. We live in a world that is not friendly to the gospel. What weighs you down. These are just statements to make us think a little bit as we gather together at these meetings. God wants you to lay aside that burden. Lay aside that thing in your life. It doesn't have to be sin, necessarily. It can be so many different things that hold us down, a burden. There's some people, and that is a sin, who just can't find it in them to forgive somebody of something that happened 35 years ago. And that keeps cropping up. And it becomes a burden that holds them back. So it's so important that we trust Him, allow Him to work in our lives. Here's a bunch of things that are given to us in the parable of the sower. The sower went out and he sowed seed. And it fell on different types of ground. One of the things that hindered people was the deceitfulness of riches. Just a little bit more. And sometimes, you know, he says deceitfulness. It could be a good thing, but it's not for you. You know, I picked up a track one time. Others may, you may not. You know, that's how personal God gets with us on this issue. So we can't make those excuses because it's a good thing, and it's, we have to know it's God. Some people have issues in their life. Some people I talk with many times. We were at a missions conference, and this guy came up and he says, "Well, I just don't have education, and I'm weak, and I've got this ailment in my body," and he was just going on and on and on, and just kind of felt like he was inferior and that he couldn't match up to really stepping out in and trusting God to step out in missions. And that's terrible to have that. Fear is another thing. Three big killers of God's will and call on your life: doubt, fear, and unbelief. And if we can overcome these in our lives, God can do so much more in our lives than we could imagine. But we're held back by so many different things. We live in a secular humanist society, a materialistic world. Everything is stacked up against us, so to speak. But when we make the break with God, when we finally make that decision, then He gives us the power and the ability to lay these things aside. And so we need to be serious. Is there a problem? Sorry, he didn't go up there. He was just praising the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Okay. Open, turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. I want to talk a bit about how we can work our way into this lifestyle of change. 1 Corinthians 9:19. "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, and to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might be by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. There's nothing impossible for God. He can take us and mold us and use us in situations we never dreamed of. I look back at my life. Here I was in the U.S. Coast Guard for 6 years. Afterwards, I thought, well, I just did my duty service in the military. And all of a sudden, all these years working in different aspects of missions, I find myself of all places, Qatar. Yeah, in Qatar, in Doha. And we were invited to a conference called People on the Move. And we had left the Philippines, and we were working with Filipino overseas contract workers in North Africa and the Arab Emirates in those areas, and using Malta as a base. And so we spent 2 years on the island of Malta after we 27 years in the Philippines. And so I'm at this conference, invited, and we were sharing about the Filipino overseas contract workers that were in the oil fields of Libya. This is before the Arab Spring. And all of a sudden, one of the speakers who spoke one morning was this guy, Martin Otto, with a group called the Seamen's Christian Friends Society out of England. It goes back to 1848. And he began to share about the plight of the seafarer. And when he began to give statistics, and especially when he started showing pictures, almost every one of them was Filipino. And both of us noticed that. Something leaped within our lives. And God put a big shift in our lives. When we got back to Malta, it's like we had a new pair of eyeglasses on. But I had other ministries and other things I was doing. I had to pass that on to others. And that's another area of laying aside. Good things. Ministry. Sometimes you have to lay aside a ministry that you're involved in for the next step. That's why discipling is so important. You know, that we're training others to train others so when the time comes, we can step into the next ministry, what the Lord has for us. So we started trying to visit ships in Malta, and it was kind of crazy because there was no port mission in Malta. The Seamen's Christian Friends Society was there for a long, long time, but in 1968, when the British left, the mission left, and there was nothing filling the gap. But we started trying to get on ships. We were kicked out of many agents' offices. Had opportunities, though, to get on a few ships, and God began to move, and before long, we were able to form a team of Maltese in a ministry called the Maritime Ministries of Malta. It was ready to stay in Malta, and then the Lord moved us again into what we're doing now. So we had to lay aside that, and sometimes we'd like to go back and visit. But we're not. It's not the same. It's the same with the Bible school in the Philippines and with Becky and Omar and those folks up in Antipolo. We go and minister in their churches and everything, but we're not. It's not in the same bracket that we were before, and it's not bad. It's better, actually, because we're like mom and pop now with them, you know, so that's much better. But now we're in another ministry and seeking the Lord daily on how to move into the different aspects of this ministry. What will be the unique strategies that will be... Now, there's one other thing in this scripture tonight before we finish. It talks about the sin that so easily besets us. And a lot of preachers like to jump over this one. But not tonight. Not with the way the Spirit has been moving in our service tonight. I think it would be good for us to, although we're not taking communion tonight, it's a good time to examine ourselves and to allow the Lord to deal in our hearts and our lives with these things that are hindering in our lives. And as you seek the Lord in a serious, you know, you might be surprised what's there. Because when he shines the light, you remember the story in Isaiah 6 when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up and his train filled the temple. And the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth is full of his glory." And Isaiah, when he saw the Lord, he also saw himself. And he cried out, "I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips." And the Lord sent his angel with a coal from off the altar and touched his lips, and he was cleansed and made whole. And then a funny thing happened. Not only his eyes were open, but his ears were open, and he heard the Lord say, "Who will go for us? And who will we send?" And from a cleansed position, he could stand and say, "Lord, here am I. Send me." This scripture that we picked for the theme of this conference speaks to that, because God is moving and has a plan and a purpose. And if we could see his plan and purpose, like this picture up here of this light with the cross. Beautiful picture. But if that picture, if you could imagine, was a puzzle made up of many little pieces. And in order for that picture to become fulfilled and perfect, every piece has to be in its place. And you and I are pieces of that puzzle, of God's plan and purpose. We're all part of it. Now, we're different parts, and we serve in different parts of the world. We serve in different capacities. We have different talents and abilities. And God is working in our hearts and our lives so we'll learn to seek him about our part and then fit in and do nothing more and nothing less than what God has called you to do. If you do that, we will flow together and we'll see so much more done in the work of the Lord. The problem is on the mission field, usually is missionaries trying to get along with each other. You know, if the missionaries would stop beating up on each other, they could win the world for Jesus. But in order for that to happen, things have to be taken out of our lives. We have to understand that we are the one in need of prayer. You know, stop being the guy that says, "Here am I, send him." Or, you know, it's like the pastor that had a little country church. And he would go faithfully to that church, a small group of people, and he would preach his heart out to that group of people. And at the end of each service, there was this one guy, and he would come to the pastor and say, "Pastor, that was fantastic. You really gave it to them. You really gave it to them, you know." And he was saying, "I wish he would get it, you know." So one day there was a blizzard. And he got to the church, he got the fire going, and he was shoveled out the walk, and he's looking down, you know, and nobody's coming, you know. And all of a sudden he sees this person with a little limp, and he knows that's that guy. And he came all by himself, and it was just the pastor and him. So he preached his heart out like he was Billy Graham, you know. And at the end of the service, the man came up with tears in his eyes, and he says, "Pastor, that was really something, you know," he says. "And if they were here, they really would have got it." We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like that. See, I scared them off. Praise God. I'd like Brother Gil to come to the piano. Tomorrow we'll talk about patient endurance in the race. You know, the King James says, run with endurance. I think I got it that way. And the New King James says patience. They're both right. Patience and patient endurance. And we will we'll get more into the strategy of missions and different aspects of missions. But tonight I'd like us to prepare our hearts to an examination. Is that all right? Allow the Lord to examine our hearts tonight.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to leave these altars open, and we'll spend some time in God's presence. And say, well, there's nothing wrong with me. If you say that, there's definitely something wrong with you. Lord, just work in our hearts and lives tonight. Lord, that we can lay aside these weights that hold us down. Lord, that we can allow you to go deep to the root of the problem, that sin that so easily besets, that thing that keeps hanging around, keeps hindering. Let this be the night. Oh, God, do a work in our hearts and our lives. We seek your face tonight.
Thank you, Jesus. Open the eyes of the people, Lord. Open the eyes of your children, O Lord. Give us glory and a grace. Give us grace to see through your eyes, O Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You know, in that song where it talks about touching our generation, so many times in the church when we talk about the generations, we're always talking about the generations that come behind, talking about the younger and the younger and the younger. But looking at our country and looking at the state that we're in, we are desperately in need of a revival amongst the older generations. We're desperately in need of people who have lived to stand up and declare righteousness. We have generations of young people who don't know what it is to walk out hardship because they keep running away from it. And we need godly men and women of senior years who have seen the faithfulness of God time and time again to come forth. And in our nation, God has been preserving, but the enemy has been attacking the older generations. That we're currently in a state where the largest number of new sexually transmitted disease cases are among the elderly because they are living in a lifestyle that did not know righteousness. And it is time for every generation, not just those to come, but those who have been, to see the hands of God move in a way that we have not seen in many years. And I believe that it starts here and it starts now. That every generation, that when we say, God, touch our generation, it is every single generation. Those to come, those who are, those who have been. He is going to move. He is going to move.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a free spirit. Father, I pray that tonight that you will take this word and seal it into my heart, Lord. Seal it into each one of our hearts, Lord God. May we realize that it is so vital that we surrender every part of our life to you, Lord God, so that we can go forth and be a mighty hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed, Lord. And so we thank you for this word tonight, Lord. Seal it in our hearts, Lord.
Seal it in our hearts, oh Holy Spirit of God, because you're looking for a people that will be sold out to you in every area of their lives, Lord. And we thank you for that tonight, Lord. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory for what you're doing, Lord, in our lives, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you tonight because we believe that that's the first step of seeing you work and move mightily. It's a surrendered life. And so, God, that's what we're here tonight to do. Surrender our lives to you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we surrender to you, Lord.